Welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Getting ready to launch into G.I. Joe, the invasion of Cobra Island. Or wait. G.I. Joe Renegades. We'll see who wins this battle of wills between me and the rest of the show.
What's the Battle of Something Island?
It's a 15-minute stop-motion animated movie that shows up from 2009 on IMDb that has an IMDb rating of 5.8 that, to me, should be watched, and Chan disagrees.
And we think it's
fan-made.
Fan-made.
I'm not 100% sure that it's
fan-made.
I'm
not watching fan-made G.I. Joe. We're not monsters.
We're completionists, though.
Yeah, but that's not, you can't, if you start adding in fan stuff to being a completionist, then that's how you end up in the nut house.
That's how you end up with a 7-picture deal by writing Harry Potter fan fiction.
Yeah, but it would be different if one of us wrote it, but it's just some weird basement dweller.
Right. How about this? I'm going to watch it and I will make a judgment call if I think it's worth the show's time or it's just so bad it's not worth watching. Is that fair? No, can I at least bring that opinion to the table?
Here's an idea. You watch it and then we will go and do Renegades.
No, if you watch it and you're like, we have to do this, maybe we'll do it.
You know what? I'll take that challenge. Look, it might not work for us. That's fine. I can accept it. Anyway, this is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I was trying to figure out why we hadn't started Renegades. And Ray was like, oh, why don't we watch that mouse? I'm like, that's very unusual. Ray usually wants us to go right to G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Something's amiss here. And now I've figured out what it is. I am not pleased.
He was building up his argument for us to watch weird fanfic.
Oh, boy.
We still haven't done the PSA episode, for the record.
Yeah, I am down to do the PSA episode.
Right, we might still have to do the PSA episode.
Isn't that technically fan fiction?
No. You're talking about the actual PSAs from the actual G.I. Joe.
That is correct.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Fensler films.
No, we can mention the Fensler films while we do the PSA episode. No doubt they'll come up because they're hilarious.
I see.
Anyway, that's Robert Clark Chan. That's TV's Gina Ippolito, star of New Rock Stars.
So she's a new rock star?
NRS, as we call it, Chan.
NRSS.
Yes, we put two S's on there.
That's too many S's. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, NRSZ.
But, I mean, we're living in a world now where that's what you got to do to make that sweet algorithm work for you.
Yeah, we're recording this in advance before the state mandated speech went into effect. So, who knows?
I mean, really, as a G.I. Joe podcast, I feel like we would probably fly under the radar for a long time.
After 10 years, I guarantee we've flown under the radar.
Oh, no. Well, I've wasted my life.
Oh, no. I think how many jobs you've gotten off this show, Gina. Come on. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, today, we're not watching G.I. Joe. We're watching an episode that was suggested on our Discord. We do look at our Discord. Aaron Mills is on Discord. Thank you so much.
We have a Discord?
We have a Discord, Gina, and we have for many years.
What's it do over there? What's it like? What's the vibe?
It's occasionally people will post things.
Cool.
And like every so often, me or Chan notices it, and we comment.
I've been noticing more because I've been on there with my own Discord. Got another podcast that has a Discord there, and
you have another podcast.
We're gonna go watch a pay per view with these people soon.
What's the purpose of this Discord?
Chit-chat.
It's a message board / voice channel if you want it.
But like, what's?
Remember in the before times when you could like interact with people that listen to your podcast?
No, I don't. That sounds terrible.
Having bots and stuff all up in that. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Gina, what part of what we're talking about is attractive to you?
None of it.
None of it. Exactly. Here's the deal, Gina. Don't worry about it. That's what I'll say to that.
Good. I'll go back to pretending it doesn't exist.
This is an episode of Donkey Kong Country, episode 1 of the CGI late 90s animated Donkey Kong show that we were told would make us long for Beast Wars.
First of all, No, Beast Wars is much, much worse than this.
What?
Yes, yes. You guys have forgotten how bad Beast Wars is.
Yes, yes, I have.
My comment here, Gina, two-parter. One, this looks terrible. Two, still better than Beast Wars.
Yes, exactly. It's not good, but it is better than Beast Wars.
It's cleaner. It looks also cleaner.
This, I know I'm the only one that ever looks up the Wikipedia before we do these podcasts. This was the first show that was animated with mocap, which basically means they hire Andy Serkis for all of these.
Correct. Oh, was that Andy Serkis who did the motion capture for this? Because I also checked the Wikipedia, and oddly enough, Andy Serkis, who I love dearly, no mention of him.
He was probably a little bit too busy for.
That's weird.
My guess is they mocapped a armless, legless. octogenarian.
Jen, you know how hard those are to find in Hollywood?
Also, the technology was clearly not that great back then, but they do it a lot more now as like a cost saver because you do the mocap and then it doesn't take quite as long to animate.
Yes. Virtually every video game uses this technology.
Yes, exactly. And now cartoons are like now the technology is a little bit better than country.
We were presented this as a technological disaster only to find out it's a technological marvel.
I'm
very happy about it.
Disgusting. Chance.
There is no way I need you to like go and watch 2 minutes of Beast Wars. Beast Wars looks much worse than this. This was 1997 to 2000.
I need you to look at any image in this cartoon. All of them are grotesque monstrosities.
I'm not saying they're good. I'm saying if this is being set on fire and slowly burning to death, I'm saying that Beast Wars is being set on fire and then like every 30 seconds someone pees on you to put that fire out and then lights you on fire again to draw it out. That's the difference. Beast Wars is worse. This is still bad.
Yeah, Chan, I just put a minute long video of Beast Wars, a Beast Wars transformation from YouTube just to remind you and everyone at home what Beast Wars looks like. It's a mess.
There's too many things on screen.
It's hideous.
At least, you know, Donkey Kong Company, Donkey Kong Country, it looks like the video game. Beast Wars looked like I don't even know. It looked like a
prolapsed anus.
I just sent you a picture.
Well, if you're going
to hold on. Wait, I want you to remember that because this is just a headshot. This is just a clean picture
of
Kong's head. And remember that her body, we can harken back to the conversation before we started recording of Amanda Seyfried's gigantic, according to Gina, enormous, like continentally sized breasts.
Okay, first of all, the audience was not here for the Amanda Seyfried big boob conversation.
Oh, but I guarantee there's going to be something post credits now that Chan has said that.
100%. This is all Gina, by the way. Ray and I were like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Her boobs."
No,
I can't stop thinking about her boobs. You guys, Mars.
I don't want boobs.
No, Chan is lying. Boobs. Chan is lying. Like they always do. Ray and Chan started this conversation with, "Let's talk about celebrity boobs and make Gina uncomfortable." And I said, "No, guys, please don't. I'm very uncomfortable." And then they said, "Oh, you know who had some big boobs? Amanda Seyfried." And I was like, "Guys, I'm uncomfortable when you talk about women like this." That's exactly how it went. Well, please don't.
We have the tape. And I guarantee it will be post credits. Chan, this is a guarantee I'm making to the people.
Fair enough.
They need it. I don't know how much. It was a long conversation. We probably don't need all of it.
No.
But maybe, really? Maybe the bullet points. Maybe
no, we don't need points. Any of it.
It was way longer than you would think.
No.
Again, Gina was 100% the driver of that conversation. We're like, why are you doing this?
Look, as long as you think that conversation went, it was three times longer and more uncomfortable than you can imagine.
Look, all I'm saying is that if we put this weird rock man or whatever I'm looking at from Beast Wars transformation next to this cookie Donkey Kong character, the Donkey Kong sucks, but it's clearly better than Beast Wars. Like, I agree. That is an insane looking Donkey Kong lady.
She's at the end of the episode. Look, so we're going to open it up. I don't know what this show's like gig is. I don't understand what the deal is. And it opens with this theme song.
It's not Legion. There is an island run by Donkey Kongs. Our Donkey Kong is the leader of that island because he is the strongest, but there are perpetually lizard men who want to take it over. It is a very simple concept.
But this alligator army lives on the island, and I guess they're there. The name of this episode is Episode 1, Bad Hair Day. We got to put that out there right away.
The first thing I noticed is y'all are always like, why are you choosing like episode 14? Why don't we watch episode 1 so we understand what's going on?
I appreciated that we watched episode 1.
The exposition in this episode is intense.
Okay, first of all, I have a feeling every episode has that much exposition. I did appreciate the fact that whoever this old monkey scientist is, when he introduces Donkey Kong, he's like, oh, he's like the strongest one on the island, but he's very, very stupid.
His name is Cranky, which I found to be delightful. And one of the first thing I noticed is that this show uses a lot of crane shots, which is wild for a CGI animated show.
They were figuring stuff out.
Well, I mean, it's also probably cheap if you've already like built the environment in CGI. It doesn't really cost anything to just swoop a camera into it for 5 seconds. That's 4 seconds of time you're saving.
I'm going to point out, wait, is there an original? Okay, there's a Beast Wars Transformers series that ran from 96 to 99. What's the original? What's the
Transformers Generation 1, 1984?
No, what's the original Beast Wars?
I think that is the original Beast Wars.
Oh, it is Beast Wars. Why did I think it was before that? Okay, well, Beast Wars Transformers, full name, was in 1996. Donkey Kong Country 1997 is when it started.
Yes.
So it's got 1 year to figure things out.
It is a joint American, French, Canadian, Chinese production.
Okay.
I feel like that it took them to get to all of those places really meant that they ended up being behind.
That's fair.
You know who was one of the developers of the Beast Wars TV show? My nemesis, Bob Forward. So here we are. It always comes back to Bob.
Wouldn't Bob Forward be the nemesis of Bob Backwards?
Bob Backlund, actually, no. Former WWF champion.
It would be Sink Backwards.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's some straight up 100% uncut pure dad joke for you.
Oh my God.
Donkey Kong Country was one of the co-producers was Nelvana.
Yes.
We know Nelvana for making some very, very good cartoons.
Remind me.
The Thanksgiving Space Trucker, I believe is Nelvana Christmas or Thanksgiving or something.
I think Cosmic I like that Christmas. One.
Did Oh, good God.
I that one I didn't hate either. I'm fine with that one.
Intergalactic.
Nelvana's okay in my book.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Big fan.
Special is great.
The animated part of it.
You're naming all good things, Tran. Well, this is proving my point.
The first appearance of Boba Fett.
Yeah,
great. That's the best part of the holiday special. Nelvana, okay in my book.
Oh God, you people are the worst.
You keep returning to do a podcast with us.
That's because I have an addictive personality. And I can't afford to go into rehab.
That's America in 2025, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I mean, we're certainly not making any money off this podcast, so.
Every so often I send these guys a check for like $50 like once a year. And I go, that is hey, true.
That's pretty exciting when that money shows up randomly.
It doesn't not happen.
Yeah, that's
almost
exciting.
Covers 1 month of Adobe subscription so that I can edit this goddamn thing.
Yeah, all I'm trying to do is pay for Red Circle, Chan. Look, so there's a pipe organ and we meet Cranky, who is the monkey leader, old guy. I don't know. He's not Donkey like Kong, but he's the brains of the island.
Yeah, he's like a kooky old scientist.
I was told that I needed to pull
the music, theme song.
There are multiple songs in this, by the way, none of which should ever have seen the light of day. But we can start with the theme song.
Oh, yes.
This is 1.5 speed.
Was that 2.0 speed?
Gina asked specifically.
Listen. Whoa,
okay, I'm going to need you to pull the theme song, but first play it at double speed.
Then I said 1.5 speed.
You know, you could just write that instead of writing something else.
I think I said 1.5 speed.
Are you going to make me screen cap this and post it along with this episode?
No.
That's a lot of guitar solo for a friggin' cartoon theme song.
For the record, I meant 1.5 speed because that's how I watched this cartoon.
I see.
But didn't you also want to hear it in super slow-mo too in 0.5 speed?
Yeah, because I just think it would be funny. And also maybe there's satanic messages.
Can we hear that, Chan?
I told you it would be good.
All right, that is upsetting.
No, oh, that's great.
I am watching it as this is playing and seeing these horrible, horrible animations at half speed. It's a goddamn nightmare.
I mean, this is why 90s computer animation is terrible.
I think so. You apparently don't.
No, I don't. Like, I think it's terrible. Not as bad as Beast Wars.
What part of if Beast Wars is being set on fire and repeatedly peed on and then set on fire again and this is just being set on fire, what part of that makes you think I like it?
Comparison is the thief of joy, Gina, and you are stealing all of my joy.
Are we done yet? Are we done with this episode?
Weird.
Well, I'll tell you, we're just starting, Gina.
No.
This is going to be one of those episodes, everybody. I realized this as soon as the Amanda Seyfried boobs conversation led us off today. For like 20 minutes, it was outrageous.
I mean, the real problem is that Ray doesn't know how to recap an episode in a quick way.
Well, if I keep getting interrupted. Gina, only I do the interrupting on this show.
So, the old monkey man?
The old monkey man's name is Cranky, and he's playing a pipe organ, and he's the leader brains of the island. He has what he refers to as the 8.5 wonder of the world, the crystal coconut. A coconut that grants wishes and makes you the boss.
Is that what it does?
That's what they say it does, which is weird because they say Donkey Kong's the boss, but my dude here has the crystal coconut.
And does it really grant wishes?
That's what he says it does. It's a wish fulfiller.
It'll
make your dreams come true.
I don't remember that part.
This is no ordinary crystal. It's a fortune teller, a teleporter, a power supplier, and a wish fulfiller. In other words, whoever's got the coconut rules.
So he's a dictator.
I don't know how well versed you. Any of the people listening are in the lore of David Lynch's 1984 Dune, but
oh my god,
so I'm imagining Jesus the Christ. Baron, played by Kenneth MacMillan, saying, "He who controls the coconut controls the universe."
This is, and, so this old monkey is Baron Harkonnen.
Yes, and if he would start floating, that would be a great help to me and my personal headcanon.
Baron Harkonnen?
No. No.
Only Jan is allowed to do puns. This
powers for later in the episode, because I'm going to bring it up later. Apparently, you are very powerful if you have the coconut. Just keep that in mind for plot reasons later.
Okay, here's the thing. Look. Nothing. In episode one, it's just a MacGuffin. I have to believe that in future episodes, we actually get around to the
You think Donkey Kong Country is serialized? We're never seeing this coconut again.
Agree.
I'm not. For fuck's sake.
Look, so we get our King Alligator, who has a name and I do not remember it. That's fine. He's evil.
His name is King K. Rool.
Oh, I wrote that down, but I just assumed I was doing shorthand and didn't get it all.
K period Rool, R-O-O-L.
He's cruel. I see. It's a play. It's a play on words.
But they never say it like that.
King K. Rool.
And so why not just say King Rool, or you know, King K or something like that? They always say K. Rool every time, which
Have we reached out to Ja Rule for comment?
Yeah.
Ah, thanks, Ja. Also when he shows up. Alligator King, King K. Rool, has a giant hernia. He has a giant, like, external belly button that clearly shows something is internally wrong with him.
Ew, I don't want to talk about this king's external belly button.
I mean, that's where we got to go, Gina. I don't remember it.
I don't remember it. I blocked it out. It didn't show up in 1.5 right speed.
And that's an umbilical hernia. That is a very normal thing for a reptile of his age.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia. All the alligator things have K names. There's General Clump.
Is Critters. It K Lump?
No, it's just Clump, all one word. There's Clap Traps,
now you're losing
with a K. There's Critters, but with a K. So I guess why, all these.
Why is he K Rool then?
Oh, because they're Kremlings. That's what their names are, with a K.
Man. No, you brought up Critters, and let me just say right now.
No, we're not talking about the 80s.
I just bought Critters 1 through 4 on DVD, hell yeah. And it showed up today.
Yeah, hell yeah. Critters was a New Line Cinema movie.
That's right. And I've only ever seen the fourth one in space, and it's one of my favorite movies of
all
time.
Why would you start with number 4?
Because it was the one that aired on HBO back in the day when I was in high school.
Ugh.
But here's the deal. Gina, I'm going to watch parts 1 through 3 for Halloween this year. So give me some cred here.
Good.
I'm getting caught up.
I watch Critters every year.
I feel like I'm going to love these movies. Because I love the fourth one.
But those are Critters of the Sea. These alligators are Critters of the K.
Can we do a Critters podcast?
I'm sure we could.
Chan, you on board?
Sure you could.
Crispy Critters podcast. And then we talk about the cereal from the 80s.
We got some famous voices in here.
Do we?
Well, I mean, on the Wikipedia, it says Junior Claptrap is voiced by Ron Rubin, original Morph.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Some talent. Other things, too.
Here's the thing, and I had to go look this up for this reason.
Why do I always have to start the day with a tough decision?
Hey, DK, it's me, Diddy. Yeah, down here.
Hey, Diddy, come on up, little buddy.
What, in this thing?
So you heard that character, right? You heard how
I did, Jan.
It's trying to be, how shall I put this, urban, and failing at it to the point where I had to look it up, because I'm like, if they fucking hired a white guy to be all like, hey, my brother, what's up, G? I will be very unhappy. It's Nelvana. They're French Canadian. They could well have done that.
They didn't, though.
Wait.
In fact, the person who did it, his name is Richard Yearwood.
Yes, I looked him up too because I had the same thoughts.
Are you saying he's a white gentleman?
No,
he's not.
He is black.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
But he is British. So him trying to do an American black scent comes off wrong.
I mean, it is. Yeah, I'm not sure why Donkey Kong needed to talk like that, but at least they didn't cast a white guy.
I mean, I would tell you when we get to the end of this, I feel like they're like, yes, Donkey Kong is absolutely black. We need him to sound black. Who do we have in our roster who is black? Oh, Richard Yearwood, you're black. Go ahead. You go ahead and do this. Now make it sound like a black person. Pardon? You know, like a inner city black. Do you mean American? Well, you're all the same. Yep. You know what? Just go ahead and do how you.
Well, he couldn't. Donkey Kong couldn't have a British accent because they specifically say he's stupid at the beginning. So they.
He could have had a French accent, and I think we missed out on something here.
I mean, there is a French voice cast.
Wait, but yeah, why does it say on the? It says voiced by Franck Capillary, French. Yes. Richard Yearwood, English.
Yes.
Because and then a different English singing voice.
The French came later, even though it was a French production.
I mean, honestly, I didn't do all this research, but the voice made me uncomfortable.
So yeah. I got 2 points here. One, I had the same thoughts Chan did, so I also looked up the actor, and I tried looking through his entire catalog. He got a lot of work. This was the biggest thing he ever did.
Oh,
like
that's
the biggest
sad.
Role that he ever had. This was it. 40 episodes of Donkey Kong Country. And my second note is, and this is just right off my notes. Oh my God. And you guys know how I feel about voice actors. Some of my favorite people in the world. I love the craft. I respect all voice actors. But my first note is, oh my God, this Donkey Kong voice is all caps shit.
Yeah, the Donkey Kong voice isn't great. The old guy is kind of funny.
Some of the other characters I had no problem with at all. It was just a bad series of choices. I'm sure this actor's very talented. They're asking him to do the wrong things. This is Keanu Reeves in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
You're saying it's the director's fault that this black British man is doing a terrible Donkey Kong accent.
I mean, I'm going to put it on casting, like from jump. Like, you don't just go like, you're black, you'll do.
I mean, it sounds like it was a very international production.
As is often the case, I blame white people.
Let's wait until we get to Funky Kong, shall we?
Oh, yes. I have notes for Funky Kong as well.
Wait, which one's Funky Kong?
He's the Jamaican fellow who flies the airplane.
Oh, I blocked him out of my mind.
I also wrote here, oh, yes, Diddy. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, Diddy. Diddy Kong.
A Diddy cartoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I heard Diddy Kong likes all those. He's got a little banana tree with a bunch of bottles of baby oil. I really midway through that joke, I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, no. I was enjoying hearing you struggle, so I did not jump in to help.
No, there was no help coming whatsoever. I wanted you to complete the thought. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you got to an ending that wasn't too bad.
I used to love playing Donkey Kong Country. That was a good game.
It's a very good game.
I'm told that the new Nintendo 2, the Switch 2, is very good as well.
Yeah,
they've got it on the Switch 2. Donkey Kong Country on the Switch 2.
A new one. A new.
There's a brand new one, and apparently it's like 10 out of 10. Everyone loves it.
Dang, I want it.
Well, get it.
You're right. I am an adult.
You're a rich person with a YouTube channel.
Oh man, I haven't been a rich person in at least 2 years.
So here's the deal. Donkey Kong does a bit where he breaks the elevator with his own strength when Diddy's in it. And they hear a cry for help from Cranky. So they go to the scene. They just get there immediately. It's crazy. And they defeat the alligator army by just like jumping on the bridge and like knocking the loose floorboards so everybody flies into the water.
Sure.
And this is after the alligator army shoots what do you call them? Like a
nanobots.
Nanobot alligator nanobots at the roof, and they eat like half the roof. And when they defeat the army, Cranky comes out and says, "Fix my roof, you assholes."
Yeah. Apparently, what the deal is this Donkey Kong is the next king. He's supposed to be the next king, and he has to prove himself worthy by protecting the coconut. So that's basically why Cranky is such a dick to him. Because, you know, he's like making him do this so he can learn, kind of like a Pai Mei situation or a wax on, wax off, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so who's the current ruler of Congo Bongo?
Do not know.
No, nobody knows. I was confused. I thought it was Donkey Kong.
No, Chan's right. In the Wikipedia, it says future ruler of Congo Bongo, but there's nothing about current ruler.
Nope. Probably some white man.
They just...
probably Mario.
In between rulers.
Okay. Seems like that would create a power vacuum, and maybe that's why the alligators are coming in.
Yeah.
So the crocodile army goes back to work, and they figure out through their intense research that the bananas that Donkey Kong eats are what makes him invincible. I don't know that that's true, but we'll go with it. So
That's not true, is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Man, they say it in the show. Lot of this cartoon at 1.5 speed.
Wow. Gina, you might have to slow it down just to pick up some of the nuance.
Or the basic plot points. I think that'd be
literally any aspect of the show at all.
There's a lot. It seems like a hat on a hat. There's a lot going on in this cartoon.
There is, because he says, what if we do a magical curse on Donkey Kong because he's so strong? And they go, that's a great idea. And I wrote here, I don't have a sound pull time, but I think he sounds like Stewie Griffin.
Ray, how many times have we told you can't just spring these things and say, I don't have a time code?
I rarely do it. I have time codes for later because I got a lot to pull through.
No. But,
it's the bananas that make him invincible. But what if...
Yes?
What if we cast a spell?
I will kill Lewis Griffin.
There have been numerous banana blights. I believe there's one that they're currently concerned about right now. Fusarium wilt, serious plant disease. And why not just do that instead of coming up with a magical curse?
No, because then the whole island suffers if they kill off all the bananas.
Hey, Gina, what do crocodiles eat? The bananas? Are they a banana
forward? I bet if you fed a crocodile a banana, it wouldn't spit it out.
No, I've read that children's book. If you feed a crocodile a banana,
uh-huh, then what?
It comes back
book,
for more
so you
bananas.
Can definitely tell me what the
Ray doesn't know how to read.
Guys, I saw pictures in a book called "If You Feed a Crocodile a Banana."
I see. Well, it's a good thing your daughter's there to help you.
It ends with like a mouse in a car or something. Honestly, I couldn't follow it. It was way too confusing.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
There's the Autobot defense base!
But where are the Autobots?
Who cares? Decepticons are gone!
Oh no, look!
It's Omega Supreme!
Introducing the Autobots Omega Supreme defense base. It comes with a motorized tank with flashing turret lights.
Decepticons! Counterattack Omega Supreme!
Transformers!
Omega Supreme will stop them!
Robots in disguise!
Omega Supreme is invincible!
Transformers!
The Transformers sold separately. Batteries not included.
Back to G.I. Joe.
So the spell they're going to cast, the curse, they're going to, this specific curse, they have to cut a piece of Donkey Kong's hair off while saying a series of words. Remember that. Mm-hmm. It's very important to this spell that they say the words while they're cutting his hair off. Mm-hmm. And if they do it correctly, he becomes a wimp. He loses his Donkey Kong strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is...
again, remember these plot points for later. I'll be bringing them up.
Well, I mean, it's obviously the story of Samson.
Yes.
If they cut off Donkey Kong's hair, he loses his powers. But yes, they complicate it by being like, well, it's a magic potion. And then they complicate it even further by being like, well, clearly it has to be his on again, off again girlfriend who cuts his hair and says these magical things. But so we're obviously going to build a robot version of his girlfriend. I'm telling you, there's it's just, again, it's a hat on a hat.
It's a lot going on in this cartoon.
I mean, here's the thing. These are the sorts of things that I would flag as plot holes if they didn't bring this up. And so the fact that they did, like, okay.
Oh, so you appreciate the story.
It needs to work. It needs to work in this way. How do we get someone close enough to Donkey Kong to cut his hair and say the words? Obviously, you know, we're crocodiles. We can't do it. Let's construct, you know, a robot that he wants to fuck.
If they can create
Gina. Wait. Now you're getting crazy.
If they could create a realistic looking robot girlfriend,
yes.
Why can't they create a robot army that could take out Donkey Kong?
It's a great question.
I mean, they create this robot in about 5 minutes, and she's very. They can't tell the difference between her. I also assume all these alligators had sex with that robot at some point.
I mean, that's probably what it was there for in the first place. And you're like, why don't we just put a monkey head on it? And like, oh, now let's go.
Well, also, at some point, they're like, her head is not on. And then they're like, all right, put her head back on.
It got real weird. It got real reanimator there for a moment.
Like, why was her head off? What were they doing with the head?
Here's my thinking. That for people like Ray, who just doesn't understand things.
Ray wouldn't understand that it was a robot unless he saw it headless with wires poking out.
People like Gina, who watch things at 1.5 speed and miss huge swaths.
To be fair, when I watch things at 1.5 speed, I pick more up than Ray does watching it in real time.
That is the lowest possible bar, Gina. You know this.
Dude, I'm so proud of you to barely get more out of it than I do.
But it's again, grotesque and disturbing. And I understood why they did it. I just wish they had not made this cartoon at all, because there are no good choices to be made.
Like another weird wrinkle, like Donkey Kong's girlfriend is being sexually harassed at work by the Mr. Belvedere monkey. I can't remember his name. But he clearly is designed to look like a butler.
Just because he has a freaking mustache.
No, and he also his hair.
Let's talk about him.
No, his hair is slicked back to the side, and he has a fancy man mustache.
That's true.
I love his mustache. First off, I'm jealous.
But he wants Donkey Kong's girlfriend, and so every day he like brings her something, like a cake or something, and then she's like, "I don't want your cake. I'm watching my figure." And he says, "Why bother? I'm watching it for you." And I was like, "This is another weird plot."
Gina, it's so much worse than that. Gina, how do you feel about workplace sexual harassment?
I mean, usually I'm in favor. Wait, am I the one doing the sexual harassing, or is it someone
really
else?
It's really a give and take. It's a give and take.
Well, if it's me, I'm in favor of. If it's someone else, I'm against.
So it's not just that this guy drops in, because Donkey Kong is going to go say hi to his girlfriend or not girlfriend, who knows, Candy, who works at a banana barrel factory, I should say. And, well, real quick before that, Chang, if you could get me a sound drop.
You got to ask these things in advance, Ray.
She's just a girl, DK. You can't have fun with a girl like we do.
Okay, Diddy, what do you mean by that?
I think we know Diddy means by that.
If it weren't Diddy, if the character's name weren't Diddy, that would be a completely innocuous statement.
I'm just saying, my rabbit ears went up when I heard Diddy say
it. Is
that,
a very 90s little boy thing to say. Oh, girls, why?
Real quick, I'm sending you all a picture of Bluster Kong. The quality animation that you so very much enjoy is on full display here in this character who is speaking and has body parts that do not relate in any way primate.
Yes, this still is horrific. Okay.
It still looks better than Beast Wars. I'll say it.
You say it and I don't
No, I, no, because this is not fair. Because if we had actual stills of Beast Wars next to this, again, yes, I agree. This looks, this is the stuff of nightmares. But so is Beast Wars.
I mean, but the thing about Beast Wars is they're robots who are meant to look like animals. These are animals that are meant to look like animals, which makes it so much worse.
I want to know who did the mocap for this. And were they, when they saw this edit, were they like, what the fuck, Jerry?
No, no. I think they saw this edit and they said, finally, my genius is captured for all time.
Look, they got a frying pan to do the mocap. And honestly, they did a half decent job of it.
I mean, yes, it looks terrible. I still think you have blocked.
Yeah, no, it looks terrible, but at least nothing else in this cartoon is good, so it evens out.
So Bluster is our mustachioed chimp fellow, and he's the one who owns the factory where they make the barrels.
His mother owns it. Does not own it.
But that means he owns it.
Walks around like he.
Yeah, he gets the job.
I do appreciate that it's a barrel factory. I mean, we all know Donkey Kong loves to throw barrels.
They had to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
No, I like this bit of lore, but like there's a power dynamic of him grossly hitting on Candy the monkey, the ape, the.
Yeah. I don't know. She's very fit. Yeah, that's her thing. Candy is like kind of a fit on again, off again girlfriend for Donkey Kong.
She's wearing a crop top. She's very thin, has enormous gazongas, and has them on full display, cleavage out there for reasons.
Wait, are you saying that she shouldn't dress like this for work if she didn't want to get harassed by Mr. Belvedere?
Wow, Chan.
I'm saying at no point should a grotesque half human, half gorilla thing dress like an 80s aerobics instructor.
I'm just saying she looks like Amanda Seyfried from Mean Girls when she should look like Amanda Seyfried from Les Miserables. That's all I'm trying to say here.
Oh my God. I just Googled Candy Kong, and if you can believe it, I think this is one of the more flattering depictions of her.
Oh, no.
She just has a history of looking.
I mean, it's quite insane.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. I do know who this character is. Yeesh. And they're just like, we're going to put this female monkey in our Donkey Kong games. Is she going to be highly fuckable? Yes, absolutely. No, there's going to be no question that every person playing will want to fuck this monkey, right? That is correct, sir. No, we have made her boobs prominent, and we have given her every feature.
There are iterations of this character that look like an extra in... at the end of Act One of an episode of Law and Order SVU, when they have to go and talk to women on the street and find out if they knew the victim. And this is Candy Kong. Candy Kong is the one.
If Candy Kong showed up at SVU, Dick Wolf would say, can we pull it back just a little bit?
Yeah, Candy Kong is, wow, these are very disturbing.
I am not happy that my search history now has that in it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the worst that's in your search history, Ray.
I forgot to go to safe search, Gina. I don't know what to say.
These are all very disturbing. Also,
I just found the... Oh, Jesus.
did you fall down?
I don't need this in my life.
Jan, you know what? Do me. I'm guessing that you just found the Candy Kong hentai porn. Why don't you just go ahead and post it on Ray's wall and tag his wife? We haven't done that bit in a while. I'm sure she misses it.
Well, things are going well for a while, but oh well, it's over now. So all of these pictures that we're posting to each other will all go on the Patreon, patreon.com/knowingstaffthepodcast. Join our Patreon if you want to see what we mean, and maybe
we shouldn't put these on our Patreon. We should put them on the Knowing is Half the Podcast only fans.
No. These are so disturbing. I think people should have to pay for them.
I am paying for it right now. the psychic cost is high.
It's high.
So that's so what look, I'm saying. I'm saying when these are the other iterations of Candy Kong, go. The one in this episode wasn't that bad. Oh my God. What is
Jesus
that?
Christ, Chad. I don't want to go to the website.
What is that, Chad?
What is that? She's blown up extra large like a balloon. She looks like Kirby. Except that is, she's Candy Kong,
known as an inflation fetish, and
that is
wait.
I don't understand.
Is an inflation fetish different than just like a big girl fetish? Because
I don't know. But I'm really upset right now.
The answer, Gina, is yes, and I encourage you to Google it to find out more.
Oh my God, that is too much. It's all going on. It's all going on the Patreon. Y'all go to our page. I've already
for our Patreon if you want to see Candy Kong as a character drawn by someone with an inflation fetish.
Here's the thing. Here's why it is worth the money.
Oh my God.
This doesn't go into your search history. You won't have to scrub anything. It's not going to make your searches weird afterwards. We are doing the work for you. Again, we are paying a high cost for this content.
I'm so upset right now. Oh my God.
It is very upsetting.
That one broke me. Okay. So let's get it back on track, workplace.
Yeah. Hurry up.
Okay, look, I'll just say the most disturbing thing to me, which, like, sure, creepy boss hitting on a woman who is wildly inappropriately dressed for a fact.
Again, blaming
that's
her.
That's the 90s, and you would expect that. What you wouldn't expect is for him to buy her a cake, for her to say, no, thanks, girl power and all that. And for him to go like, well, fuck you, bitch, and slam the cake on her head before walking out. What? What is going on?
I will say, he clearly roofied that cake. But as someone who really likes free food, I would have probably still eaten that cake. Knowing that it is probably roofied.
Look, let's move ahead to Donkey Kong shows up and she makes plans with him. So we get introduced to Candy Kong as a robot. God damn it, Sam.
Okay, I'm gonna speed through this because Ray's losing
it. No, I have something to say, Gene. I'm sorry, I'll get on point. I promise. Because you know what I want here out of Robot Candy Kong is a musical number. Can we please take 11:05? I would like to hear some of the song.
Oh my God.
I'm Candy Kong's clone. We look like we're one and the same. I know what you're thinking, but honey, I'm no ordinary dame. I'm sugary sweet, ooh, just like Candy Kong.
I mean, that's not a bad song.
It's the longest song. It goes on for comfortably the rest of the episode.
Yeah, but it's like a slutty robot singing a song. What kid doesn't want to see that?
I have a question for you. I'm going to have to send this picture.
No, you don't. Chad, stop it.
No, no, it's just a screenshot. So
I know, but I'm going to have to see the blow-up picture again. God damn it.
My concern is this. The technology involved in the rendering of this thing, this character, when you look up close, and you can see it in, I think, all of the monkeys, because I noticed at some other point, too, and the rendering of the fur... Take a look at her. Again, we're going to have to go to her cleavage. This looks like a character from Hellraiser who has been dragged to hell and is being brought back through the blood of, innocent victims and whatnot. It looks like her skin has been ripped off and we're looking at the musculature underneath.
You're not wrong. She is 90% eyes and 90% lips.
She just looks like she's had some bad plastic surgery. That's what it is.
That is correct.
She looks like she's had some lip fillers.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not talking about the face. Look at her from the neck down to her titties. Look at that. What is that?
I can only see so much, but she just looks like any mom from the 90s.
Double click the picture. Open it up big. Take a look
at
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She doesn't. She just hasn't figured out her foundation color.
So she's just like smearing four different colors with her hands. And just like, there we go.
That is correct.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, I'm behind that. So Candy, Donkey Kong shows up at the factory and rides the conveyor belt to give her a gift, and then somehow everything gets ruined. I don't care. Candy shows up at his house. And this is important. Remember what I said? Remember what they specifically laid out as the rules of the curse. She has to cut his hair while saying the magic words to do the curse. Robot Candy shows up and she goes, I'd like to take you on a date right now. And Donkey Kong's like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's go do the thing. And she's like, you can't go out looking like that. I'm going to cut your hair. So then she says the words, and then afterwards, a little bit afterwards, cuts his hair all the way down. And I wrote here, that shouldn't count. You laid out clear rules and you didn't follow them. Obviously, the next step of this will be the curse didn't work, but it does work.
Yes. And then he loses all his strength and the crocodiles attack and they steal the crystal.
100%. And he Donkey Kong has a line where he just says, I'm tired, and Donkey Kong, I get you.
We're
I'm tired too, Donkey Kong.
We're not going to talk about the fact that he doesn't have like a cowlick in his hair. It's actually the shape of his head.
We could talk about
he's,
that.
He's
yes.
like a yeah, he's like a pinhead type thing.
This is body horror on a level that I was not prepared for in this children's cartoon.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's there. I mean, he has a weirdly shaped scalp.
Head. His skull is shaped like a surfing wave.
That is accurate, yes. So here's the deal. Cranky's visited by the Croc King again and his army. He shouts help to Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong shows up and has to fight this big hoss of a gator. This big ol' ultimate warrior gator that shows up right there. And my immediate thought is, I can't help but think an item this powerful should be under better security. Mm-hmm. Maybe one old man on an island isn't enough.
Well, they usually have Donkey Kong. But the old man figures out what's going on pretty fast. And he's like, all of Donkey Kong's stupid friends are like, you just need to eat a bunch of bananas. Let's stuff him full of bananas. But the old man is like, oh, I know what this is. This is a curse.
Well, yes, but before we get there, the crocodile army steals the MacGuffin. But I asked the question, why didn't he use it? Because it's very powerful. Why didn't he pull it out and use it to retain it? Why did he just do literally nothing and let the croc army walk out with it?
Because this is all still exposition. We have to set up the world, and the world is that the crocodiles want this thing. And it is the monkey's job to keep it from them through either the wisdom and smarts of Cranky or the big, dumb, weird skull of Donkey Kong.
Okay, but failing that, couldn't he just, like, Thanos snap them away with the coconut if it is what they say it is?
There's got to be more to this coconut than just, oh, I wish this thing.
It teleports. Maybe, we know that. He could have teleported away with it.
Maybe you got to save that for another episode so that each episode you have it do one thing so that you can get 40 episodes out of this godforsaken bit.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Anyway, they steal it. And this is when our friend Funky Kong shows up in his biplane. And I don't have a sound pull, but like, Chan, obviously we need to hear what Funky Kong sounds like. We're on a journey here.
Why would you want to hear a white man doing a reggae accent?
You know why.
Because that's what we got here.
Hey, dudes! It's chaos all over the island! Karul's got the coconut?
He didn't do a terrible job.
I am not going to comment on this.
I will not bow to your opinion of that.
It's the 90s.
Ray loved
it. Voice actors were asked to do... Look at Hank Azaria. Voice actors were asked to do things that were, in today's world, inappropriate.
Yeah, Ray frequently talks about how he wishes that more white actors would do Jamaican accents these days. And it's... And he's mad that we're not in those days anymore, and he wants to go back to them.
It's funny you mention that, because I don't get hired for any Jamaican accents anymore, and I'm kind of mad about it.
Hold on, hold on, Ray. Yeah. Let's hear your Jamaican accent.
Well, Ray, I mean, it's not really in high demand anymore.
Do not fall for that, Ray.
Let's hear it. You can do it just a little bit.
I will not do that, Robert Clark.
Honestly, I was about 50-50 about whether or not you were going to fall for that.
You know what? I almost did it. And if it wasn't for you being the angel on my shoulder, Gina, I would have fallen for it. So thank you for saving me from myself.
Anyway, the Jamaican Donkey Kong flies Donkey Kong out to eat all the bananas. He eats all the bananas, but he still doesn't get his strength back. The
mellow yellow bananas.
The
I'd
old
like
Donkey
out.
Kong... works up a potion to counteract the curse. He gives it to the real Candy Kong. But since her boss is a dick and she won't sleep with him, he pours it out on the ground. But then it grows a bunch of banana trees and Donkey Kong eats a banana and gets his strength back. And then he smashes the alligators. And then in the button, both Candy and Candy Robot go to their date with Donkey Kong. And he's like, I know which one's which. The one that's being really nice to me is clearly my real girlfriend. And so he tells the other one to get lost. And then it's really the robot, and the robot explodes and his girlfriend dumps him. The end.
You could tell we're over time right now because Gina is aggressive. I will say, Donkey Kong, why didn't the alligators use the coconut either? What the hell is the point of this thing if no one ever uses it? That upset me. Also, Donkey Kong kicks it into the sky, and it ends up going through the roof at Cranky's house perfectly. This guy should be playing in the NFL as a kicker, because he gets it perfectly right back into its spot again. Outrageous.
I know it wasn't the intent. I'm 99% sure it wasn't the intent of the animators to do this, but the final image of this cartoon is what I can only say, explain, describe as a blackface joke.
Oh, but oh, no. Donkey Kong... But Donkey Kong is black, though. So is it blackface if Donkey Kong is the one wearing it?
I agree, because I looked it up. I'm like, okay, great.
Wait, Jan, what did you Google to look it up?
Well, no. I looked up who the voice actor was.
Okay, yeah.
It is played by a black person. That being said, if a black person... came in looking like Donkey Kong here, I would kind of say, like, yo, are you doing that?
Oh, but it's because something explodes in his face. I don't think it's I mean, listen, Jan, I defer to you on that. Like,
are you a white person telling me what how I should feel about blackface?
I don't think that's not blackface. I'm uncomfortable.
I defer to you, Jan. I'm just saying, the voice actor is black. The character is black. So when something blows up in his face and he has ash on his face, I don't know if it counts.
It's
they kept it's the red case. Lips. That's all I'm going to say.
Maybe I need to watch it again, but
Also, yeah.
You know what, Gina? Yeah, you should probably watch this again, but on 0.5 speed so you catch all the nuance.
Listen, I'm never watching this again. I'm going to expunge it from my memory. And when you guys bring this up a year from now, I'm going to say, we never did that cartoon. And then you guys are going to be like, Gina, we definitely did. And then I'm going to say, you probably got a guest that night and it wasn't me. It was probably Eileen O'Connell. And you're going to be like, no, I think it was you. And then you're going to check the spreadsheet and prove me wrong. And I'm going to be like, huh, well, I don't remember it. I'm just warning you guys now so that when it happens, you don't get mad at me.
The only thing I will say, look, I still have a plot question.
No.
Which is, it's not just that he ate the banana and got his strength back. He ate the super banana and his hair grew back.
Yeah, because his hair is the source of his strength.
Why did his hair grow back from eating bananas? I'm just...
It counteracted the curse, Ray. It's a children's cartoon.
The curse shouldn't have worked.
You should understand this better.
I would have liked this better if Candy Kong was inflated with a bike pump.
I knew that you would, and that's why I sent you that picture.
That is, I'm going to have nightmares about that picture later.
Just to make sure that everybody understands, I'm going to play this last bit on half speed.
Yes, please.
Now that we're alone. How about a big birthday kiss?
And then she explodes because she's the robot.
Yes.
He picks the robot instead of the girl. So the girl goes home.
Yeah. Probably to sleep
with
the
boss. And her
head
blows off.
Probably, yeah.
So my question is, after the camera goes away, after the robot's head has blown off.
Yes, he does have sex with the robot body.
That was my only question remaining. Yeah. Yeah. And I knew the answer. I just wanted to pose it.
By the way, that robot is once the robot's head flies off and it's just the robot's body and Donkey Kong takes it back to have sex with it, he's going to discover there's about 80 alligators worth of cum already inside that robot.
God damn it. I knew you were going there and I could do nothing to stop it.
I mean, I think we have an accurate visual representation of what that looks like right there in the chat. If you want to take a look again,
go to patreon.com/knowingusatthepodcast to see every picture referenced on this show.
Take a look at that and you're like, yep, that's 80 alligators worth of cum.
All right. I'm done with this.
I think the new name of the show is Knowing Is Half the Podcast: 80 alligators worth of cum.
80 alligators worth of cum.
So that's Donkey Kong Country. Aaron Mills, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing that into our lives. Not worse than Beast Wars. I know you were trying. I wanted this for you, but not worse than Beast Wars.
I feel like it's worse than Beast Wars.
I think you forget Beast Wars, sir.
Jan, do we need to watch Beast Wars
again?
No, I'm
not watching another Beast Wars to compare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joy.
But it's two against one. Two of us think it's...
No, if Chan keeps insisting, we have to do it again. Maybe we just got the bad episode, you guys.
I mean, I do kind of remember a little bit about that episode. I think it had to do with robot dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I remember that a dude farting in the room became a plot point at some point.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh, yeah, good point. There were no fart jokes in this episode.
Is that a point in its favor or against it?
Oh boy. Normally I'd have a clear answer for that. This one, not sure. Not sure.
Well, folks, I guess that's it. Good night.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. inside Hollywood info, like how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great breakfast recs and foodie debates like when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.